All right, you glorious family, I need you to join me in the book of Ephesians. As you know, Pastor Josh started us on an odyssey of the book of Ephesians. Does everybody have notes in your bulletin? Note sheet and on the back a chart. Everybody got that? Anybody missing? Nobody missing. Good. Excellent. Good work. Thank you guys out there in the foyer that it's sharing our programs and our announcements. Good. Please read that over and pray for your church this week. That would be wonderful. All right. I have been given an impossible task. Friday, I got a text from Rodney. Pastor Ron, Josh is homesick with 103.8 fever. So he says, I know you're teaching Christian Ed. Could you preach both services? So two up, two down. This is the third one, and you'll be rid of me. We are really excited to bring you God's word this morning. I hope you're hungry and thirsty because we have an impossible task. So everybody imagine a pencil in your hand, just a pencil, and a sheet of paper, a blank sheet of paper. Pencil and paper. And I say to you, in 202 words or less, write everything you know about God's mind and plan in ages past. 202 words or less, one sheet of paper, one pencil, and your heart and mind. The passage that we're going to look at today is 202 words long in the Greek. In the NASB, I counted 257. I've been given Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 to preach in one message. So thank Rodney, thank Josh. This was their decision, and so it is on your head. I can only be responsible for my content, but when you give a guy an impossible, possible task, how are we supposed to do this? Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, should ideally, one message for every verse. Because this passage is what we call HDT, heavy duty theology. Okay? So what I've tried to do is not to be a reductionist, but to try to help you on these next months ahead as we go through the book of Ephesians. And by God's grace, I'll be back with you October 12th. I have been delegated Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 10. That's almost as bad, but not as bad. Okay, so in the back of your worship folder, in your notes, you have a chart of the book of Ephesians. I'm sorry it's so small, but we only do half sheets here. We're on a budget. So if you give more, you'll get full pages. All right, so this chart is available. If you look down here at the bottom south corner, www.webtruth.org, Ephesians chart. You just click on that, you'll get the whole PDF, and you can print it out for your refrigerator, for your Bible, next to your Lazy Boy, next to your couch, next to your outdoor spot that you read your Bible. I want you to print this out because it's a really good guide. So today I want you to think in just big pictures with me for just a second before we dive into God's word. Today I want to talk about the wealth. This is your wealth of the blessings of Christ. This is chapters 1, 2, and 3. It's about wealth. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 is all about your walk. Okay? So wealth and walk. Talk to me about that. Ready? Repeat after me. Wealth and walk. Okay? You've almost got the book of Ephesians memorized. You're very, very close. You're closer than you've ever been before. And so today we're going to be talking about God's purpose, namely that we've been made accepted and that in that accepted now we have been made aware, accepted and aware. And so we're going to be talking about God's purpose today, our blessings in Christ, and then our appreciation of Christ. This is an impossible task. Thank you, Rodney. I appreciate only the hard stuff you give me. All right, so in your mind's eye, let's go on a trip. Whoosh. We've just gone past space and time, and we've dropped down into modern-day Turkey. Little town, dusty road town called Ephesus. Ephesus was a major player in Paul's day. It would be like Seattle for us, Ephesus was for them. Very cosmopolitan, not quite Corinth. It wasn't San Francisco, but it's close, it's Seattle. And Paul had his hands, he really had a big job. And so we know, we have a great backstory to Ephesians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. We have a backstory from the action book of the New Testament, the book of Acts. And Acts chapter 18 and 19 tells us this wonderful detail, live body detail. Here's what Paul was up against in his day when he had come into Ephesus. So he's on his missionary journey, and he has his tent-making friends Aquila and Priscilla, a husband and wife dynamic duo. It'd be kind of like the Istones, Priscilla and Aquila, Aquila and Priscilla. They made tents. They make people's lives change with their ministry. So a husband and wife working together. Ephesus had a wonderful, wonderful pastoral background. In Acts, we see that Apollos comes through, this mighty man who preaches God's word, almost like every word drips of just the goodness and fullness of God. He's a major, major preacher. And then they get the Apostle Paul for 3 years as their pastor. And then Paul leaves Timothy, his young son in the faith, behind, and Timothy takes over. And we're told through the church, great church father, Eusebius, that after Timothy, John comes by in his old age with Mary, the mother of Jesus. If you went to the Ephesus church, it's the church I'd want to go to. Jesus' mom, Jesus' disciple who's taking care of Mary before he goes off to Patmos. The Apostle John, as you know, got to go on a little vacation to the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner. God gave him the revelation. And so we have a backstory of Ephesus. Here's Jesus' postcard, 7 postcards to the churches of Asia. And we see that the first postcard is to the people that are at Ephesus. It's kind of like a state of the church address. Here's what you're doing well, but here's where you really need to put your focus and effort. And what Jesus said about Ephesus, remember what he said about Ephesus? This one thing I have against you. You're doing a lot of things well, but one thing you need to get better. The one thing you got to get better is you have lost your first love. Can you imagine getting that from Jesus as your report card? As a church? Oh, wouldn't that crush your heart? Lord, I'm missing out. I'm not enjoying you fully. Thank you for letting me know where to improve. We have the backstory to the book of Ephesians. We see here in this big old amphitheater, this is where Paul engaged the culture. If you know anything about the book of Acts, we see that they've got people that are making idols there. They're silversmiths, and they're creating these goddesses and gods. And Paul comes in, and he engages the culture so much that the entire city of Ephesus pours into this amphitheater, and he's down on the floor, and he's taken all this abuse. He's taken all these questions, all these insults, and the whole town, 25,000 people, are on Paul's case in his defense against idolatry and the truth. Now, you and I may never stand in the amphitheater. Now, maybe some kids, maybe someday God's going to give you that platform. But for us, our platform is our family. Our platform is our neighbors. Our platform is our coworkers. You may not stand in an arena in Ephesus, but you stand in the arena of your life. And today, we know there's a lot of stuff going on. So, big idea here, big idea. I want you to see if this clicker works, and I'll save Judy's. Nope, Judy, you're going to be my partner again. Let's go down to slide number 4. What's the big idea of this message? Okay, the big idea is that this glorious spiritual blessings that are being in Christ, his body, the church, so we got this glorious spiritual package of blessings of being in Christ as his body, the church. We see that the entirety today, I'm going to show you the entirety of the triunity of God pulls back the curtain of time. We transcend time, we transcend space, and we're going to get a view into what the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit was up to before the foundation of the world. What a privileged place to be. If you are ever potty mouth, go to Ephesians 1. If you're ever feeling sorry for yourself, go to Ephesians chapter 1. If you don't think you have a place in this world, read Ephesians chapter 1. When you read Ephesians chapter 1, it is hard to not walk away just stepping high in cotton. It is a glorious, glorious book. And the first chapter, I can't believe I get to do this. Thank you, Rodney. Josh, thank you for your fever. So we see here this glorious body, the church. God likens the church to a body. And Jesus is the head. He's the one who's given out all the signals. He's the director. He's running all operations. And then each one of us in this body have a place to play. Some people have arms. Some people have ears. Some people have a mouth for the next 29 minutes. Some of us, it's serving. Some of it's speaking. Some of us is helping. Some of us is giving. Each one of us has a special place in the body, and you know who you are. You know what turns on your afterburner to glow brightly for the Savior. So in chapter 1, we see the body that Jesus, Rodney's going to talk about this with you next week, right, Rodney? He's going to take on the last half, not even half, it's less than half. He's going to take on the next passage, and we're going to see that Christ is head over all the body. In chapter 2, we're going to see that Jesus is reconciling both Jew and Gentile, all of us in this world who receive him. He's reconciling all of us into one body, the body of Christ. We see in chapter 3 that we're fellow members of the body. We each have a place to play. In chapter 4, we're going to see that we're fitted together, and that causes growth in the body. And then we see at the end, the last chapter, chapter 6, we see that body parts need covering. A spiritual body has to have spiritual outfits. And that is the spiritual armor to cover our head, to cover our chest, to cover our belt and groin area, to cover our shoes. We have everything that we need in chapter 6 to be a spiritual body and protect it. That's part of the blessing about being in Christ. We'll get to that months from now. All right, so let me do this. Let's go down, and I want to take you to a beautiful meadow. Can we go down to the meadow, Judy? All right, here's what I want you to do. Does anybody recognize this beautiful alpine meadow? Matterhorn? Could be. Okay, can you go down the next slide? Now do you recognize it? Sing with me. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Okay, oh, now the Von Trapp family comes in. Yeah, see, we forget. You know, I can remember years and years and years and years ago, I was born in 62. This came out in 65. How many people were still living? You're still living. Awesome. All right. So in 1965, the movie came out. I think it was 5 Academy Awards. Yeah, 5 Academy Awards, including Best Picture in 1966. But not everything's cool up in this beautiful, high, majestic alpine. It's supposed to be Austria. This is actually, picture was taken in Germany. It's supposed to be taking place, I believe, in Salzburg, where they filmed it, Austria. It's a beautiful story. You know, let's go down to the next slide. And we see the beautiful Von Trapp family. Their daddy is a submariner from World War I. He's a captain. The world is on fire. Nazi Germany wants him to come back and go to work for them in the Navy. And he doesn't think too highly of Heil Hitler. And Captain Von Trapp is up against the problem. How do I protect my family when the world is at war? And my daughter has a boyfriend named Rolf. And I've got a servant that talks to Nazis. I got to get my family out of here. And so with the world on fire, we know the story. If you haven't seen it, it's a great story. It will uplift your soul. There's beautiful music in there. It takes you to new heights. But you guys know a half a world away in 1965 what was going on in Southeast Asia? What was going on in Southeast Asia, brother? Vietnam. There's a movie that came out. It was called We Were Soldiers. And Mel Gibson plays this amazing lieutenant colonel, makes colonel. He just passed away here a few years back, and they renamed the fort after him and his wife. And the story is a beautiful picture about the world. He's in war. His officers, he's taken his men into combat. They have families back home. There's this beautiful scene where the children are kneeling by the bed and he's praying. And the little girl goes, I don't want to pray. I don't want to pray. How come? Well, Mama's a Methodist. He's Catholic, right? He's leading his family Catholic. His mom's a Methodist. And he says, well, some people are just hard-headed. Let's pray. And he leads his family in prayer. Right? But he's got to go off to battle. There's battle waging, not just in Paul's day, in the spring of 52, but also in the fall of 65. And if you will agree with me on this, I believe we are still at war. I believe there's a war waging. And currently, right now, as you know, in Glendale, Arizona, Charlie Kirk's Life Celebration Service is taking place. And that song that we just sung from Chris Tomlin, A Church Waiting for You, I bet you they're going to sing that song today. See, we're singing the same songs because we're the same family. Brandon Lake's going to be there. Carrie Joby Krause is going to be there, and her husband. And so it's going to be a wonderful event. Lord, I just pray for protection. I pray for celebration. Lord, thank you for our brother, Charlie Kirk, who was just at the tip of the spear at what you're doing in the arena, just like Paul was, Lord, in Ephesus. In his culture, he was engaging. He was standing for truth. Bless him now. Protect him against all harm. Heal our nation from violence. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so in chapter 1, I want to take you to heights you can't even comprehend. What's the farthest out you can think of in your mind, in the universe? How far out can you think? What's the glorious heights you could go to in your mind? Some space ship out there? How about if we take it back home? How deep can you think? You guys ever heard of the Mariana Trench? Out in the Philippine Sea, in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of the Philippines, right? It just goes, whoa, right? It goes down. You could take Mount Everest, turn it upside down, and it would still be way underwater. It is so deep. It's called Challenger Deep. I think it's 33,800 feet below sea level. The depths, how deep can we go? This is the passage we're dealing with, folks. This is how profound this is. We can take you up to the glorious, uncomprehendable glories of the universe, or we could take you down deep. This is the sights we're going to see in Ephesians chapter 1. So we have what we call in preaching, we have just teed this message up. We're ready to swing now. So let's talk about this. The three P's of our outline today, if you'll follow with me. First of all, I want you to see this morning that this glorious body and the glorious spiritual blessings in Christ in this body of the church, first of all, I want you to see it today. The first P is, number one, it was planned by the Father. Say that with me. It was planned by the Father. Now, if you'll do me this courtesy, could I love you in a unique way today? Would you just close your eyes? Don't look at your Bible. Just close your eyes, and would you allow me to read Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 to your heart, to your soul, to your body, to your unique person? Just close your eyes. Take a big breath. Hold it. 3, 2, 1, out. See, now you're ready to receive. Close your eyes and just listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intention of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us, upon us, in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to his purpose, who works out all things after the counsel of his will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ would be to the praise of his glory. In him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge, our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Open thou eyes. Beautiful things to peer into. Just having that read to you, doesn't that lower your blood pressure? Doesn't it make you get curious? Aren't you glad to be in the will? You know, when someone that has means gives you a gift and you're in the will, isn't that pretty exciting? I just read you the will. You're in his will. You are his will. God is including us in what he's doing, but Paul pulls back the shroud through time, and we see the mind of God the Father. And he has planned this beautiful body for his son. So first of all, I want you to see in verse 3, number A, or letter A, he has blessed us. Okay, you see that first word? Can you go to slide 16, please, Judy? Thank you. I'm going to work you guys over big time today. Powers of observation. In the verses that I just read to you, 3 through 6, this is the first part we're going to take about the Father planning this body. It was planned by the Father. I want you to see this passage here, just taking 3 through 6. I want you to count how many green spaces there are. Kids, be part of this. How many green spaces is this? Or excuse me, yellow. Count yellow first. Who counted that? Awesome. Good job. 14. Now, count green. Okay. 14 yellow. 7 green, what's that ratio? 14 to 7 would be divided by 2, 2 to 1. There's twice as much in this passage about God in yellow than there is green in us. This is a God-saturated passage. Do you see that? God's letting us in on the most glorious aspects of our entire universe. You're privileged today to be in this seat. And if you're joining us by YouTube or video or on the website, we're so glad you joined us. God bless you. You can join in. Now, here's what I do in my Bible. My Bible's torn up. It's tear-stained. It is written over. It's colored up. And what I like to do is I like to take a passage and I like to break it down. I like to see, show me the guts. And the guts here is about, the emphasis is on God the Father, God the Son, He, Him. But He includes humanity in this in the green. And then the red, if you had a red pencil, I would love to reach over into your Bible and start circling every time God's done something for you in this passage. Wouldn't that be rich? Just start circling. So how many red circles do we have? Who said 11? Great job, 11. Okay, so these are all the things that God has done for you. He has blessed you with every spiritual blessing. He's chose you. He's chosen you to be holy and blameless. He loves us. He's predestined us. Predestination has an end in mind. It's the adoption to make us sons and daughters through Christ Jesus. And then it's all to His good pleasure. How many dads out there love to give good gifts to your kids? Moms, don't you love it when you can give to your children? Isn't it to your good pleasure when you have a birthday party? Right? You're celebrating a life. This is it. God is including us in what He is. This is such a rich passage. But I want you to see what's the first word verse 3? The very first word. Blessed. God should be blessed because of what He's done in His Son in Christ. So He is the blessed one. But look at this one. See the big blue, square that I made? The blessed becomes the blesser. See that? The blessed becomes the blesser. So it's like you. It's like He told Abraham, out of you, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to bless everyone else that's ever come to faith. You're going to have a big family, Abraham. Like the stars of the sky, I'm giving you a spiritual family because you believe me. We're part of that family today. Abraham was blessed and he was a blesser. But God is blessed and He loves to bless and become a blesser. And He wants you to be a blesser. So this is a pretty cool passage today, guys. We got lots to talk about. And so, number one, it was planned by the Father. A, He blessed us. He chose us. When did this occur? Look at verse 4, A, before the foundation of the world. That's the timepiece. Before God ever created the world, He had you and the church in mind. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm not always known for thinking things through clearly. How about you? Do you have perfect planning? This is a perfect plan. Things are working out just fine. There's no mess ups here. There's no, let's rewrite it. Everything's going according to God's plan in this passage. We see that. And so the question would be, why this occurred? Why did God bless us? Why did God choose us? Well, that we might be holy and without fault in His eyes. Look at verse 5 and 6. In this passage, He also says that He adopted us. So all these blessings, spiritual blessings, chosen, holy, blameless, loved, predestined, adopted. And we see that this is a glorious passage because it has an end to it. What is the whole goal of verses 3 through 6? To what end? Verse 6? To the end, to the praise of His glory, of His grace. Let's read that together. To what end? To the praise of the glory of His grace. This is why the Father planned this beautiful body. It was to the praise of His glorious grace. God gets the credit for what only God can do. Man could not think this up. Man could not pull it out. Man could not pull this off. It has got to be a God thing, and we see this today, that is to the praise of his glory and grace. Okay, so that's number one. The second P is number two, it was purchased by his son. Say that with me. It was purchased by his son. This glorious body, the church, was purchased by the son. Let's look at verses 7 through 12. Judy, could you go to slide 20, please? Let's get out our markers again. How many? Yellow. How many people got 15? Anybody get any more? 16 for Rick. You need better glasses?
Yeah.
Okay, how many greens? The yellows, this is he, him, his. How many greens? 7. Okay, so 16 if you're Rick Pratt, 15 if you're everybody else. Did he get 16? You get 15. Okay, so 15 to what, 7? What's the ratio there? All the emphasis is on who? He, him, God, right? Saturated with him. And then we get out our red pencils because there's more benefits of the will. This is the reading of the will. This is his will. It says so. It's his will, okay? So he redeems us. That means he buys us back from the slave market of sin. Right? Christ pays the price. Jesus is the coupon. The Father offered the coupon. The Father accepted the sacrifice of the Son, so therefore he could purchase our salvation. We see that not only this, but he lavished it on us. He lavished it on us. I can remember as a young 16-year-old, we had a really neat guy that was part of our church family here for years and years and years. His name was Randy Roberts. And Randy owned the Dairy Queen, which is now the little Mexican food place down by across from the knitting mill. What's that? Tarasca. A la Tarasca? Tarasca? Yeah. And so that used to be the Dairy Queen. And Randy had this ice cream machine. And when he taught us to make ice cream cones, we had to put the swirl on the top. So you had to open up the machine, and it had to have a curly cue. That was DQ's signature. It's not a cone unless it's got a curly top. Well, maintenance was not always good in our ice cream machine. And it would be Friday night, and people were stacked up, and we would turn on the ice cream machine, and guess what would happen? We couldn't turn the ice cream machine off. It was like ice cream cone after cup after clap after cup. And we the ice cream machine lavished ice cream on us. That's the picture of God's love, if we can liken him to DQ. Right? He lavishes all these blessings on us. He lavishes on us. He made known to us the mystery of his will. We've obtained an inheritance because he's predestined this in accordance with the plan of his will. See, there's the will. You're in the will. And this is also another great outcome. So if we look at this here, number two, it was purchased by the Son. What Jesus did, he redeemed us by his blood in verses 7 through 8. In 9 and 10, I see here that he's going to someday gather together us in his name. Look at verses 9 and 10. Write that. Look at verse 10, back half of 10. Summing up of all things in Christ in the heavens and things upon earth, he is going to bring all that in the fullness of time together, and we're going to be with him. Now, why would Jesus do this? Well, in verses 11, 12, we can see that it's in accordance with the plan of his will. So what's the end to all that? What's the end? Let's read it out together. Ready? Hit it, Judy. What's the end? We would be to the praise and the glory of his grace. See that with me in verse, the last part there of 12? To the praise of his glory. Now, did you see this? The Father planned it, right? What was the end result there? To the praise and glory of his grace. So we see here's the Son in action. We've been purchased by the Son. The body of Christ has been purchased by the Son with the end that we would be to the praise of his glory. See that? It's really nice to know what God's up to. It's to the praise of his glory. Now, why would God want praise? Why would he elicit this praise from the blessed ones? He's so blessed to give. Isn't it nice to say thank you when you've been given a gift? When you're in someone's will and you get called into the attorney's office and there's this wonderful provision, don't you walk out of there thinking, man, that person's a big giver. That's the way it is with us in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. But wait, there's more. There's the third P of this message. The third P is it is preserved by the Spirit. Say that with me. It is preserved by the Spirit. Look at A here. It says what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit, in verse 13 here, he brings the message of truth, and as we are listening to the gospel and we believe by our listening and believing, he then does the sealing. See that? Verses 13 and 14, 13 specifically. In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed with him with the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of times people get tripped up on the sealing. And I don't want you to get tripped up on this. I just want you to think about it. It is an insignia of ownership. That's all it is, a sealing. Okay, in days past, you know, or you know somebody, and the bride is really into hospitality, and the wedding invitations are this beautiful textured paper, and then they melt this wax, and then they've got Troy and Angela. That's our invitation. We own it. There's a mark. There's a seal. That's the way the Holy Spirit does. He marks us. He seals us because we're his. Beautiful passage. So good for our hearts. I love this. We've been purchased. And the sealing or the insignia shows that we are owned by God. It's a mark of ownership. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 21 and 22 says that the Holy Spirit sealed us and gave us, the Father sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The sealing is a guarantee. If Troy and Angie sent out this wedding invitation, melted wax, they push in the seal. This is our invitation. This is the mark. This is a guarantee. You've got an invite to our wedding. This is the guarantee that God says, you're invited in. I'm not excluding anybody who will listen and believe the gospel. See that? God has made us givers, but he's also made us receivers. So in our receptivity, right? Hey, Bodie, I want to give you a Christmas present. Okay? Seahawk tickets for a year. On any game that's not on Sunday. Preseason looks pretty good for Bodie. But it comes with strings attached, doesn't it? When you love somebody, you gotta love them back. God has made us givers and he's made us receivers. First we're receivers and then we're givers. We give back God for the message, we give him back our hearing, and we give him back belief that this message is true because the Holy Spirit's leading me into this truth. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14 is a glorious passage. And at the end here, we see that the Spirit, we see the Spirit as he is working. We see that there's an end in goal. There's an end in mind. And what is the end? Right? What's the end? To the praise of his glory. Three beautiful chunks of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, planned by the Father, right? Purchased by the Son, and now the Holy Spirit is preserving us. We have been to church today. Let's come in for a landing. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, how can we thank you enough for this scenic view of the glorious heights and the beautiful depths of what this passage evokes in our spirit. Lord, we read this and we are just so enthused and encouraged. We are uplifted, Lord. You've taken us to new heights today because we've been in your word. And now, Lord, as we sing out this song, we pray that our worship would be a response to you and what you've told us today. Lord God, I just thank you for these people. I pray that they'll go home and all week read Ephesians. They'll get out their red markers. They'll get out their green markers. They'll get out their yellow markers. And they will just mark till their heart's delighted. Soak it in, receive it, and then share it with their friends and family in the culture that they're going to engage on the amphitheater of their life. We thank you, Lord, for Paul's message, and we thank you now, Lord, for the message you're going to put through us in Jesus' name. We all say,
amen.
Amen.